You learn how to budget when you travel. It expands your mindset. It makes you feel grateful. It makes you appreciate life. It makes you not feel stuck. There's so many things that happen to your brain when you travel that if you're not doing it ever, you're really missing out on like incredible opportunities to build resilience and strength in your brain. Welcome to the Upgrade, an insightful podcast where we share valuable information to help you level up your wellness game and start upgrading your life. So today, me and my co-host Carly, who's back? I haven't had her for like two episodes.
I'm back, baby. I'm back.
She's back from a trip that she went on. So we decided to do this episode on traveling because traveling's pretty exciting. And we've both done it. And the more you do it, we believe, the better for your mindset. And there's nothing that is ever really, besides, you know, having kids and just growing up in general, but traveling really, really shapes your mind in such a good, powerful, positive way, even if you had crazy times traveling, which me and Carly both have. But she was on the most recent trip to
Guatemala.
Carly was in Guatemala, which is crazy. How long were you there, Carly?
Okay, I was there for 6 days, I believe. So it wasn't crazy long. I have kids at home, so, you know, I had to get back and do the whole mom thing. But And it was also crazy because it was like right before Christmas. I remember being like, oh, should I go? Should I do this? Should I stay or should I go? It was a retreat. So I knew that going there, like I was going to be doing things. Like it wasn't just like your traditional vacation where you go and like lay on the beach and have margaritas and do all that stuff and like beach. It was like doing the inner work. We did lots of different like ceremonies and stuff. And then the main event, I guess, was climbing Acatenango, which is a volcano there.
That's crazy. I saw your Instagram stories and I was like, she's climbing a volcano. That's insane.
Yeah, it was. And I met someone on the plane on the way there, and he was like a journalist, and he was like asking me like why he was just so curious why I was going there. He had been to Guatemala a bunch, and I told him about the volcano, and he was like, yeah, like I have some scientist friends and they've like made it very clear that it is not safe for people to be like hiking that mountain. And I was like, oh my God. Like my anxiety was like, and I don't love flying either, so my anxiety was already kind of like heightened on the flight. The turbulence. I'm just kind of like a nervous flyer. And so I was nervous about that. And then he's like telling me that the volcano is like not safe. And so I was like, oh my God, don't tell me this. Like I'm hiking it anyways.
Oh my gosh. So you, again, it's that scared, but it's like that good scared. I mean, that's actually really scary.
Yeah.
I'd be like, okay, I might actually die. And I've had this fear many times traveling where you're like, oh my God. But again, you didn't die. Yeah. Usually you're all right. And
I mean, you never know, right? Like anything can happen in life. You could like cross the street outside of your house and get hit by a car. Like we don't ever know when it's our time. I truly believe like when it's your time, it's your time. And we just got to do things that like you said, like traveling, I feel like it's so expansive. Like the way, you just like grow as an individual. You get out of your comfort zone. I even feel like being at the airport, like before I even landed to my destination, just being at the airport is already like so expansive on its own. And then like, I'm sure you feel this, but like even going away, like without your daughter and stuff and kind of just being with yourself and being able to like experience cultures. And it's just, I love traveling.
Traveling's awesome. So Carly, when would you say that you like started to travel in your life?
I don't know. Growing up, like we would go on at least like one trip a year. So I kind of had those experiences growing up. Like then I had kids and the traveling kind of like came to a halt.
Of course.
Other than our destination wedding, which was in the Dominican. Another crazy story because we got deported. with our 10-month-old baby. It was honestly, I feel like just this past year, like I really stepped into this new mindset of possibility and wanting to explore the world and wanting to, like, my kids to get to experience different cultures and that. So because before it was kind of like, well, like, we have three kids, we're so busy. Like, Colin works a full-time job. Like, how could we ever make this work? It's so expensive.
Three kids would be a lot to travel,
like,
with.
You kind of tell yourself all these reasons why you can't do something, but, like, is that even reality, or are we holding ourselves back? And so I was like, no, like, this is going to be my year of travel. So yeah, it was Alberta, which was freaking gorgeous. The mountains there. Like, I remember I was just, like, in shock the whole time being there. I'm like, this looks fake. And you love it there. You lived there. You had a strong connection to that place. And
I can just tell that you're on, like, you're traveling high, because you have been traveling a lot this year, and you have that, like, zest. I haven't, like, left the, well, I went to the States recently for a couple days, but I haven't really left the country to go on a big trip since, like, I was pregnant with Charlie. It was Greece. Mm-hmm. And again, that was alone. Like, I met up with a couple of friends I met in earlier traveling episodes, and, like, hostels, which Carly, you stayed in a hostel in Guatemala, right?
No, not in Guatemala, in Japan. Mm-hmm. We stayed in a hostel.
Right. Where did you stay in Guatemala?
It was like a retreat center. So this woman that owns the place, she just, like, started this. Like, no one has stayed in this place. It's like a little retreat center.
It's sanctified.
Yeah. And so we were the first ones to get to, like, stay there. And yeah, it was really, really cute. Like, Guatemala in general, that, like, we were in Antigua, which is, like, all, like, old cobblestone. It's just beautiful. Like, the buildings, even just, like, walking down the street, the doors, like, everything is just, like, I feel like you don't different. See that stuff here.
Older.
It's just, it's made so well. It's just beautiful. And
everything in North America is cheap and shit.
Yeah. And yeah, it just feels different. People are happy. Like, I just remember, like, we would get, like, Ubers, and, like, the locals, they don't have a lot. Like, it's a pretty poor place. You would still see, you know, moms walking, like, up these, like, hills, these dirt hills with their kids barefoot. The mom's, like, carrying, like, baskets on her head with, like, heavy stuff in it. And I'm like, wow. Like, we got sent on, like, a scavenger hunt the one day. And one of, like, the tasks that we had to do was, like, buy a treat for a local kid there. And so when you go into, like, the main, like, area, it's like Central Park. They have, like, vendors and people selling food and, like, lots of fruit on the side of the road. And so anyways, I bought this, like, little bag of, it was, like, chocolate covered peanuts. And I was just walking around until I found, like, one of the local, there's local kids everywhere, because they go with their parents and help them sell stuff. Mm-hmm. And so I found this little local girl, and I asked the mom, I'm like, can I give this to her? And they were so blessed and so happy. Like, seeing the look on this little girl's face, I was just in shock, because that made her day. But and that to me, like,
it's like
a
nothing.
Bag of candy is like, yeah, I can get that whenever. But they were so happy, and, like, I just thought of that all day. I never want to forget that moment, because we take so much for granted. And I feel like when you go on these trips and, you know, you see people that don't have as much as we do, it's really eye-opening. It makes you just want to, like, help more and do better in the world and not really complain as much as we can sometimes, right?
We complain a lot. And so these types of travels, like, I haven't really gone on a trip where I'm, like, immersed in a very poor culture. Most of my traveling's been Europe. It's the same as here, except older architecture, same culture. Everybody likes to, you know, have fun and never, like, people, it's not, like, poor. All the places I've been haven't been poor. I've been to, like, Paris and Munich and, like, Berlin and, like, lots of capitals of countries in Europe where, again, I don't see that, like, poverty. But again, such great times, just a totally different type of traveling. Like, this was me just super young showing up to a hostel. I've traveled with, like, some friends before. And it was great. And if you're any of my friends listening to this, please don't take offense. I love you so much. And I'm actually still friends with all the people I've traveled with. But I had so much fun traveling with friends. But what I found traveling in these situations where you show up at a hostel with your friend, then you start making the decisions. It's like, okay, what are we going to do first? What are we going to do tomorrow? What do we want to see? And it's like you're married. It's like you make all these decisions together, that by the end of those weeks, I think I had a day to myself on one of these trips. And I just remember being like, wow, I really, really feel like this is what traveling is, to be alone and make your own decisions. And it's like the most free feeling ever. And then after Spain, I did another trip where I went backpacking for 3 weeks with my friend Megan, and she was a very experienced traveler. So I had not done a backpacking, like going from country to country to country. And I was so freaked out the whole time. And like, you're always scared somewhere, whether it's before you travel, during, or both. Like it's scary, but it shapes your brain. And again, your brain's not going to change if something is too easy. That's a whole neuroscience behind that. But as soon as something becomes hard, that's when your brain has to really work and change and rewire. And that's why traveling is so powerful, because when else are you going to be in this culture or that culture? But anyway, so it was so fun to travel with my friends and backpack, but it was a next level when I was by myself. It was like, this is so fun. And even still, you're making friends and you're like, hey, do you want to go on this hike tomorrow? The hostel's offering a free walking tour to take us on a tour. And you still make friends, and sometimes you'll go out for lunch with those friends, but you're not bound to them because you didn't arrive with them from the airport together. And you know, you're not going to leave your friend. Your friend's not going to leave you, hopefully. But I highly recommend traveling alone. Like, whatever your kind of traveling is, like whether you're being immersed in a culture and you're like shocked, like you're experiencing a high amount of culture shock, or you're just going off and, you know, just partying a little bit like I was in my 20s and just doing the hostel thing, I just recommend you do it. And don't be like, even if you're like 30 and you're like, I shouldn't be traveling, and you're single. And again, you should still travel with families. Carly did it. She has 3 children. But if you just don't make excuses, this is the most amazing thing that you could do for yourself, is to immerse yourself in other parts of the world, to see how big the world is, to see how much opportunity is out there, and to feel like, you know what, I'm not stuck and I could go exploring. And I just so love traveling so much. And there's nothing that's ever excited me quite as much, besides my kid, as traveling.
Yeah. There's so much to see. Like, the world is like, it's huge and it's beautiful. I remember you leaving for all those trips on your own, and I remember being like, how is she going to do this by herself?
Like, I didn't even know. Yeah. You just do it. And obviously you read reviews for hostels. You got to make sure they're like not sketchy, but
yeah.
Hostels have a bad like reputation. My mom would be like, what? You're staying in a hostel? I'm like, well, how do you think all these young kids travel all the time? Because it's cheap. Like, no one can afford to just go travel like that when you're in your friggin' early 20s and stuff.
In Japan, I had a great experience in the hostel. I wasn't really sure what to expect. We, like, saw the photos online. It had good reviews. It was so cheap. Every day we got free breakfast. They had, like, coffee and juice and food every day for us. Super safe. It was, like, a shared bathroom on our floor, but no one was ever in it. And it was so clean. Yeah, I had a really good experience. Like, I would definitely do a hostel again if I had to.
And then I stayed in a hostel once where it was 10 euros a night in Spain. And there was, like, a mouse. And I was like, no. And then I was like, okay, you get what you pay for. But whatever. It was still fun.
Yeah, that's part of the experience, right?
It's all part of the experience.
To tell the story now of when you stayed in a cheap hostel and there was a mouse.
Yeah. So when I went to Greece, I was pregnant. And what do we think in North America? Like, you think you can't have a drop of alcohol. You can't, like, we're so strict. And again, I'm not promoting drinking while you're pregnant, but they're okay in Greece having a little bit of red wine while pregnant. And I remember my waiter comes up to me and he's like, would you like some wine? And I said, I can, I'm pregnant. And he goes, so just a little bit of red wine, you'll be okay. And again, just, that's a little bit of culture shock right there. It's not like intense, like, oh my God, these people are dying or they're in poverty, but it's still like you see those shifts and it's so interesting. You really do learn that life does not revolve around North America. It doesn't. And I had another conversation with this young lady who had a kid, and over here in Canada, and we have child support. It's like you have to pay child support. There's no way out of it. And over there, no, not so much. So they're literally depending on, you know, is this guy going to be good and support my child if they're not together and they have a child? So that was like culture shock. I had this whole conversation. She's like, you're really lucky that in Canada, you know, you have a baby, you get baby bonuses here. Like, we're so privileged. And most of the world is not as great as North America. And we all have our complaints about like Canada and how it's so expensive. And honestly, it is insanely expensive, this country. But we're way safer. We actually are pretty set up here in terms of like, you know, you're never really completely screwed because, and so you learn to appreciate those things, but it's still great to be like, do you see what I mean about traveling? You appreciate home, but you learn so much about the world and it all just makes your mind grow and expand. Yeah. And you should all be traveling. What was your favorite country you went to, Kale?
Oh my gosh.
Japan. Honestly, that sounds so
sick. Japan was so cool. Very, very quick trip though. And because they are 12 hours ahead of us.
Oh my gosh.
So we were falling asleep at around 5 p.m. and then waking up at 3 a.m. And we had a couple like events that we had to be to. So I want to go back and like explore more of Japan.
That's what everyone says when they travel.
Yeah, like, I wasn't even there for a week and it like, right. It was so quick. And so
that's such a long flight. I know.
Oh man. Yeah. My ankles were like blown up when I got home. Like I was like, oh my God.
Like, I feel like your feet got affected when you travel.
It was, oh my gosh. Well, yeah. So my toenails are black currently.
Show you. This is from her trip in Guatemala.
I have a bit of shellac on still, but that's from the volcano hike.
She got black toes
talk a bit about the volcano because I feel like this whole journey up the volcano was insane. So the day before the volcano hike, we ended up going to this place called Earth Lodge, which was beautiful. This car drove us up the mountain. Honestly, I was looking out my window and it was just like a drop. And I'm like, this car could like, it was sketchy. So he drove us up this mountain. Then we had to like hike down like to this like restaurant place. It was pretty wild. We ended up doing a Te Mezcal ceremony. I can never say that right. It's basically this sweat lodge where you go in and there's a shaman and it's supposed to be like a very like spiritual experience and detoxing and release and going within. And
Sounds sweet.
We were in this sweat lodge for 2 hours. It was so hot. And then we had like mud all over us and the woman kept coming in and like spraying us with the hose and she was chanting. I don't know if anyone's ever like done anything like spiritual with like a shaman or chanting, sound healing. Like people were crying. Like I got emotional at one point, but long story short, when we left the sweat lodge, I started to feel really unwell. Like my throat was hurting.
I wonder why after a sweat lodge. Interesting.
It could have been detoxing. Who knows, right?
Okay.
So then, yeah, we get back, or I went back to where we were staying because everyone else went out for dinner. And I almost booked a flight home that night because I was feeling so sick. I was like, I can't hike this volcano tomorrow. How am I going to hike a volcano this sick? Like my throat was hurting. I couldn't stop coughing. I couldn't sleep. Like I was so sleep deprived.
And this was the climax of your sickness because you were sick on this trip. You told me.
Like I was fine up until that day after the sweat lodge. I was like, ugh. Like, you know, when you're just, your body, you can feel it. You're like, I'm not well.
What if, I don't know, you don't want to fuck with spirits. Like what if that lady did something to you? That's why I'm really weird about some spiritual stuff. You don't know.
I didn't get that vibe. Like, I know what you mean. Yeah, I know what you mean.
Me and Carly are spiritual. Yeah. We've already said in our podcast, I believe in God. She believes in God.
And there's so many things out there that we can't physically see. And it's all that, like, that intuition and that gut feeling. And, like, it's going to be different for everyone. But it's, I really try to, like, anytime it's, like, usually in my gut where I can feel something, if it's, like, good, bad. I just have that gut feeling. Anyways, then Amy, you know, Amy Rolla was like, girl, I hiked a volcano in Bali and I was the sickest I've ever been. Like, if I can hike a volcano, you can do it, but no pressure. And I went to bed that night because we had to be up at 5 a.m. the next day.
Pressure.
And I'm like, okay, I'm going to hike this volcano. So we got up at 5 a.m., drove 2 hours to the place. And yeah, we started the incline and 15 minutes in, I was like popping these, like, I don't know, Guatemalan Advils, I guess. I don't even know what they were. I like went to this like sketchy hut and it was a pharmacy and I just was trying to tell the guy, I'm like, I don't feel good in my throat, like I need pills. And he like showed me these like big yellow pills and I was like, sure, like take my money.
Did he speak English?
No. It was just like I was trying to just signal to him that I wasn't feeling good and my throat was hurting. And I was crying the whole way up the mountain. We stopped every like 30 minutes to take a break. They had tour guides that take you up the whole way. And yeah, it was literally one of the most intense things I've ever done. I was comparing it to childbirth at one point. Like I'd had two natural births and I was actually comparing how hard this hike was to, like, I was like,
you're blowing my mind.
Is this harder than childbirth? Like and even people that weren't sick were struggling, right? Like it was, it's not like, I feel like you really do need to train for something like that. And we did not train for that. Like I work out, I exercise, but
yeah.
Yeah. And so And you have to carry these backpacks, and they, so you have a small backpack and like a big one, and the big one has 4 liters of water in it, which they take up 80% of the way, and the holy last 20% shit. You have to carry it. So the last hour we get these big backpacks back, and I put it on I'm almost falling over. Like, it was almost as heavy as I am. Everyone else was like, okay, we're gonna, like, let's just get to the top, and I'm like, I can't go any further. Like, I was crying. This stranger hugged me and she's like, you can do this, like, I, like, just breathe. And I'm gonna have a heart attack.
I don't think I've done a hike this intense before. God. I really don't.
And then we had one more stop before we got to the top, and I threw my backpack down and I like burst into tears. I'm like, I can't carry this anymore. Like, I can't, like, my chest is gonna explode out of my body. And so two of the people in our group volunteered to help carry my water bag up, because that, like, I couldn't do it anymore. Mm-hmm. And then we get to the top, and it's literally one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen in my life. There was about an hour when I didn't feel sick getting to the top, because, you know, when you're just, your energy shifts, you're in a different mindset, you've accomplished something that you thought you couldn't do, and it, you do feel those shifts. And I just was looking at this, because we were on Acatenango, but looking out at Fuego, which is one of the most active volcanoes in the world.
Holy
it erupts
shit.
Like every 10 to 15 minutes, and as it got darker, you could see the lava like exploding out of the volcano, and it was beautiful. Like, it was one of those things.
You got to see the lava?
Oh yeah. And some people hiked another 2 hours to go.
I saw this on your story. I remember.
To
I
was get like... closer, which was sketchy, because we were looking at, we could see their little headlamps and the lava falling down the volcano and getting close to them. Like, it was pretty close to them. I'm like, okay, I don't know if I would want to do that, but people do it all the time. So,
and you probably could, the next time you did it, it might be pretty hard again, but by, again, the human body, so insanely resilient. Like, mm-hmm. you do that 3 times, I guarantee you'd be a pro. I used to live in Banff, and people just hike all the time there because there's mountains everywhere, and they're doing like 6 hours up, 6 hours down. There's a hike that's 8 hours up, 8 hours down. I think it's Mount Cascade in Banff. And then they'd go to work the next day. Like, yeah. Just crazy. Or do a hike in the morning and work in the evening. Yeah. Like, people are crazy. And again, your body will always adapt mm-hmm. to whatever it's doing over a period of time. Because yeah. the human body's crazy. And then your mindset is shifted. Your brain's rewired. And you freaking feel like Superwoman.
Yeah. I remember being... like the whole time we were doing the incline, I was like, I would never do this again. Ever, 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 never. Like, this is
like, you're almost like, I'm so stupid for even doing this.
I was angry. I'm like, why did Char set up a volcano hike? Like, why would she do this to us? Like, I was pissed. And I was just like, I would never, like, I want to go home. I don't even want to be here. Like, what, like, like, I was, but like, again, I was sick. So I was pretty, I was emotional, and yeah, it was a lot, but I was really mad. And then it wasn't until I was on my flight back to Toronto, and I was like, kind of had time to process what had happened. I was on my phone looking at like the photos of it all, and I'm like, wow, like, I'm so happy that I did it. I'm happy that I came. I'm happy that I pushed myself to do something that I physically felt like I couldn't do. It was all worth it in the end. Like, the experience was crazy.
If it can't kill you, if
it doesn't kill you, it makes you stronger. Yeah. I encourage you to get out there, get out of your comfort zone, do something physically and mentally that you feel like you can't do, because chances are you can do it mm-hmm. and you'll get through it no matter what.
Yeah. And don't be scared of traveling. Seriously, if you haven't left your country or even your continent, you're in North America, you haven't got out to Europe, anywhere, like, what are you doing with your life? Go yeah. travel.
Yeah.
You're nuts. Especially these young kids. Like, I teach and I tell my high school students, I'm like, you guys better go traveling when you're done your studies. You won't regret it.
Yeah, I never did that because I had kids so young. So I'm now entering into my travel era where, and yeah. I want to do it with the kids. Like, I want to take them on so many trips. We want to do like an RV around mm-hmm. like Canada and the US. And I want to, yeah, there's so many places I want the kids to see. They love traveling too. Mm-hmm. I just think it's so important to also expand their minds at a very young age, allow them to see different cultures. Even just the awareness around like the poverty in certain countries and what I experienced in Guatemala. Like, kids here, like, my kids have iPads. They always have food when they're hungry. They have a roof over their head. They have whatever they need. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like we're like super, super wealthy, but they always have what they need. And
you guys are blessed.
Yeah. And I just want to them to have that perspective of of like be super grateful and never take anything for granted, because there's so many people out there that always have it a little worse than you do. And yeah, I think that awareness for kids is good to have as well.
Mm-hmm. You learn how to budget when you travel. It expands your mindset. It makes you feel grateful. It makes you appreciate life. It makes you not feel stuck. Like, there's so many things that happen to your brain when you travel that if you're not doing it ever, like, you're really missing out on like incredible opportunities to build resilience and strength in your brain, and which is going to be overall you.
Do you find like your confidence even goes up when you travel? Like
100%.
Your communication becomes better. You know, you talk to more people. Even just if you're in a situation where maybe you're lost or you've missed a flight or something happens, but you get through it, and then your confidence also builds too. Like, I've noticed that when I come home, I just feel more confident.
Yeah, 100%, because it builds that strength. I got stuck in Greece. I missed my flight home and I had to stay in the airport for like a whole extra day, and I was terrified. But
yeah,
again, all these things that happen, they shape your brain for the best.
For sure.
And you need to do it. Don't be scared. Don't be scared. Go travel.
Nice. Yeah, that was good. I love talking about those experiences and hearing yours again.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I haven't left in a while. I'm going on a road trip with Andy to get just something to do with my car. I got to get my car safety inspected, but we basically, to make a long story short, we're going to make a fun road trip out of it. So we're going to drive through the States. Nice. Yeah. And then I think we're just going to make it like a snowboard trip, but nice. I'm super excited. So maybe we can have another episode on this. Anyway, guys, thanks for listening. And we really encourage you to travel. It really does upgrade your life. So thanks for joining, and we'll see you on the next episode.
Thanks, guys. Bye.